Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Earthquakes, tsunamis, and climate anxiety. So they've all surged into our collective consciousness recently. And then an 8.8 magnitude earthquake, which is not just a big number, it's continent shifting. I mean, I'm saying that metaphorically, I've no idea if it is. But how does that all tie in to this broader environmental concerns? Is this just Earth being Earth, or are we seeing more natural disasters? Joining me is Simon Geer. He is a respected climatologist and environmental scientist and one of South Africa's leading voices on global warming and climate risk. Let's separate the science from the sci-fi and get some clarity. Simon, good morning. Thank you for joining us. I'm hoping that you are well. Can we just talk about the basics? What exactly triggers a tsunami? Is it always an earthquake?
There's probably two major things. There's either an earthquake or there's an ocean mudslide. If you have a buildup of silt on the continental shelf and that suddenly shifts and collapses down, that can cause a tsunami as well. But even that would probably be triggered by an earthquake anyway. Right. So it's very much an earthquake-related thing.
How big is 8.8? I mean, is this a once-in-a-century stuff?
They reckon it's in the top 10 of earthquakes ever recorded.
Wow.
So it is big. And certainly the biggest one since the one that caused the 2011 tsunami that devastated Japan. So, it is. It's a really, really big earthquake.
This is massive. How do we know, or is there enough information when an earthquake happens like this to know if it will necessarily cause tsunamis in various areas?
Yeah, so there's obviously a lot of modeling that goes on so that they can start figuring out, you know, when an earthquake happens in a particular spot, they then usually have a reasonable idea of the pace of the wave and that sort of thing. But the impact it has locally is highly variable. So the first waves to hit Japan were about 30 to 50 centimeters in addition to the natural waves that were arriving anyway. And that's enough to certainly surprise people who are walking along a dock or you know, fishing from rocks or something like that.
Right.
But not necessarily devastating. The wave that has gone out across the Pacific on its way out to Hawaii encounters Midway Island, halfway between Hawaii and Japan, in fact. And it's just gone past Midway, and it was 6 foot high as it went through there. So that is huge.
Yeah, right.
And that's really enough to cause devastation as it's, if it stays at that sort of height, as it hits Hawaii, that's going to be a major problem and definitely worth evacuating the coastal areas of Hawaii.
So in the past, when we followed these devastating tsunamis, what kind of height would those waves have had?
I mean, they vary. So obviously the ones that came in, we've seen videos of the waves that came in across Indonesia and sort of Thailand, those ones back in 2004 and the Japanese one. And they were tidal surges of, probably in the region of 4 to 6 feet. Big. And it's not just the little wave that goes up and down. Often these things, when they come into bays and so on, they actually have an enormous, it's almost like a wall of water, with a dam of water behind it coming through. So it's got a lot of power, much more power than an ordinary wave. Even if you feel that, you've got a 2 or 3 foot wall, along the coastline, it could still vary, as it gets up into the shallow water, it's going to increase in height because its energy has to go somewhere, so it goes up. And so that could very, very easily overwhelm that. And even a long, long way away, I remember in the 2004 tsunami.
Yes.
There was modeling that it was going to come and affect the South African coast as well. And, you know, it was over that December period where there weren't really too many experts around. And I was the one answering all the phones because I was the only scientist, you know, still on duty at the SABC in those days. Incredible. And I didn't really know about tsunamis. You know, I'm a climatologist, but I said, you know, it's highly unlikely that it's going to have that, you know, it's going to have a noticeable impact.
Right.
And yet there were a couple of fishermen who were washed off the rocks round about that sort of Jeffreys Bay coast area, you know, somewhere along there. That was probably at the time that that tsunami wave would have arrived. So it didn't look like a tsunami by then, but it was probably just a sort of freak,
a surge,
slightly larger
almost.
Wave.
Yeah.
You know, that, and that really made me aware of the power of these things. So, I mean, that's a wave that's managed to get around Madagascar, around our east coast, and then still impact people on the Cape South coast. So, I mean, this is something that's going to go right across that Pacific basin.
Are we seeing more of these than we used to? And if so, or are we just more educated around it?
I think we're definitely much more educated is not the right word, but sort of we've got more data, so we're far more aware when these things happen. You know, I mean, if this had happened in the 1600s, there would have just been a report, you know, 3 years later that a village had got wiped out on some island somewhere, you know, making it back to Europe. But now we know in real time, you know, what is going on. So we're far more aware of them. There's also, you know, as population has increased, the number of people living close, you know, within a tsunami strike zone is much, much higher. When Japan's population is now, you know, millions and millions and millions of people.
Right.
So the impact of a flood is far greater now than it would have been 200 or 300 years ago.
That is where we leave it. Simon Gere, thank you as always. Thank you for making yourself available and for your expertise. Give me your thoughts, reactions, 061-895-1019.